Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarone Hoi Vigna Vinashan Anayase Hoi Nija Vanchita Puran. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're in Sri Rangam. You all know that, don't you? You all know that. Are we in Sri Rangam? Physically? Spiritually? Why did we come to Sri Rangam? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Bhaktialok, I'm reading a translation, the hard labor for activities like visiting holy places is prayas that is unfavorable for devotional service. Okay, well, that's encouraging, isn't it? However, if one goes to places of Krishna's pastimes with a greedy desire to awaken his ecstatic love for Krishna and to associate with the devotees, then this is certainly devotional service, not useless prayas. Prayas means endeavor. One of the six unfavorable, what would you call that, attributes or endeavors of one of the six items which is unfavorable for advancement in devotional service. Of course, in devotional service, prayas is required unless you're tengalai. You have to make some endeavor on your own part. In Chaitanya Shikamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives another perspective on visiting places of pilgrimage. He says, by going on pilgrimage, men gain enormous purity. Though association with saintly people is the final goal of pilgrimage, as we know Srila Prabhupada would often quote, Ya Tirtha Buddhi Salile, people who think that going to a holy place is complete just by bathing in the water, which is supposed to be the first activity one does when one goes to a holy place. But nowadays people don't usually do that at all. Many times they don't do it. But the real goal is to associate with holy people there. But even if one doesn't associate with saintly people, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, by the act of pilgrimage, sinful desire is greatly reduced and people feel purified. So we would hope that by coming to this place, people who don't have a motive for pure devotional service, that means the huge number of pilgrims that come here daily throughout the year, at least when they're here, the desire for sinful activities is reduced. And maybe even after going away also. Maybe for some days before and after. They won't, for instance, eat meat. Although yesterday I was horrified as we were driving to the temple and going through the Agraharam, the place where the Brahmanas live, to see a meat shop. The demons, they're deliberately trying to pollute the atmosphere of the spiritual atmosphere. They should ban meat here, but no hope under this government. That's with local government. So, ordinary people, of course, anyone who goes to a holy place like this is not an ordinary person anyway. But we can say that what are broadly classified as karmis and jnanis, usually they're classified as the two types of non-devotees in Gauriya Vaishnav terminology, although we don't see any jnanis. We do see some people around here with the Tripundra, but whether they're actually jnanis in the traditional sense of the term, is another. We don't know. Anyway, why have we come to Sri Rangam? Why have we come? You can think about, why have you come? We often don't say, we just do things. We don't think, why are we doing? After our last camp, which we had in Govardhan, I met some devotees just after it. And one of them asked me, did you have a good time at the camp? I was a bit taken aback by the question, because although definitely we expect to become happy by coming here, we don't come exactly with the idea, let me be happy. It's a service. Everything is service. Everything we do is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Krishnarte akila cheshta. Everything should be done for Krishna. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. That's the natural propensity of the soul to be happy. But that should always be defined in relation with Krishna. That we have to do as conditioned souls. And for pure devotees, it comes naturally. That what they do is simply for the pleasure of Krishna. And definitely we expect to be happy by coming here. This is the place of Ranganatha Swami, Ramanuja Acharya, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Kaveri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 4 months here, which is more than any place except Navadvip and Vrindavan. Navadvip and Puri. Generations of devotees have been here. This is a place of devotion, so naturally we expect to become happy to come here. We have the opportunity to hear and chant and serve in the association of devotees. But unlike materialists, everything we do is not for personal happiness, but for Krishna's happiness. We're here for spiritual advancement, of which the core foundation activities are Shravanam Kirtanam. These are the two core activities, and therefore we call this a Shravan Kirtan camp. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by some householder devotees about what is their duty as a householder, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhu kahe Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan Dui Karo Shigra Pabe Sri Krishna Charan. The Lord replied, you should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna. So we've come here for service also. Shravan Kirtan, hearing and chanting about Krishna, is certainly service. There are so many opportunities for service, just like the beautiful Rangoli is being made, and helping with the preparation and serving of prasadam. There's so many services to do. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So there's a simple formula. Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. And these two things. And of course, Shravan is practically included in Kirtan, but it's also mentioned as another Anga, limb of devotional service. So this is why we came to Sri Rangam, to hear and chant about Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas in association of devotees. Actually, our first consideration in coming here particularly, there are so many holy places, we're having come here particularly, we should think how to please Sri Ranganatha Swami. When we come to the place of the magnanimous Lord who is so kind to be here, to give himself to us, so that we can come and take his darshan. In reciprocation, we should think how we can please him. But to please him, we first have to please his pure devotees. We can't please him or serve him if we don't please his devotees. Madbhakta puja bhyadika. Lord Krishna explains, in the course of explaining how to worship him, he tells Uddhava that better than worshipping me is worship my devotees. Here at Sri Rangam, it's a place of so many great devotees over so many generations. And of course, we particularly associate Sri Rangam and the whole Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya with Sri Ramanujacharya, whose presence here is, his influence here is tangible. If we just think, why is this all going? There's a communist flag there. That's nothing to do with Ramanuja. You can't see. You're lucky. I can see. The quote-unquote Hindu tradition of flying flags. You don't see it so much now. In Bhopal, you see so many flags on all the houses. They have Om or Hanuman or something. And then the Muslims copying, they also have in the Muslim area, they also have their flag to show we're Muslims. So I don't think that's part of Islamic tradition. Yeah. I need a little bit of preaching to these people. Anyway, we're all here by the mercy of Ramanuja, is it not? And particularly everyone who comes here, they're here by the mercy of Ramanuja. All the pilgrims come. They may not even have heard of Ramanuja because no one's preaching. You see, people come from Bihar and so many places, and probably no one even tells them about Ramanuja. It's a holy place, and you go there and you take darshan, and they don't know. Ebejosh Gushok Tribhuvan, the glories of the Vaishnava Acharyas, now should be preached. Where? All over the world, all over the universe. We should start with this. Well, we should start with the holy places. It's lamentable that people come to this holy place, they never even hear of Ramanuja. We are here by the mercy of Sri Ramanuja Acharya, and particularly we who are here, right here, now, today, we are here by the mercy of his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna says famously, Acharyang mang vijaniyan. The guru is none different from me. So all the genuine gurus, Vaishnav gurus, they're the same in the sense that they, well, two things, they're equal. What is that? If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if Acharyam mam vijaniyan, one should know the Acharya is me, Krishna says. So Ramanuja is none different from Krishna. Prabhupada is none different from Krishna. So Prabhupada is none different from Ramanuja. It's the same in the sense that they teach the same thing. Srila Prabhupada would emphasize this again and again and again. The bona fide gurus, they teach the same thing. And as Srila Prabhupada taught us, there may be some differences in the philosophical outlook or the understanding of the Supreme Lord, but all the Vaishnava Acharyas agree with the statement that sums it all up by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivesh Swarup Hari Krishna Nitya Das. The jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna. They all agree on that, which means Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his eternal servants. So all the gurus are one in as much as they teach the same message, but they're not one in the sense that the Mayavadis say, that we're all one homogeneously. They all have their individual personalities and their individual methods of teaching, and they appear in different times and places and atmospheres, and they execute their mission in the service to the Lord accordingly. Still, we find so many similarities between Sri Ramanuja Acharya and Srila Prabhupada, and I'd like to talk on that. And I hope you'd like to listen. We all go for the darshan of Ranganatha Swami. We go to visit holy places. But practically, by having darshan of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, we have darshan of all the holy places. He is all the holy places personified. Tirtha kurvanti tirthani svantastena gadabrita. The great devotees, they make the holy places holy because they carry in their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by seeing Srila Prabhupada, and of course we should see him shutekshita pata, seeing by hearing his message, then we have, by hearing his message, we have access to all the holy places, ultimately up to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, if you're a disciplic follower of Ramanuja, and Goloka, Vrindavan, if we're a disciplic follower of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have access to Srila Prabhupada. Through Srila Prabhupada, just like Ramanuja gave access to his followers, he brought them in to the shelter of all the previous acharyas, Arlavas, then they're known, in what is now known as the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada gave us access to all the previous acharyas, including Ramanuja. There's some advantage to be being born after the great acharyas, than as much as you have the mercy of more acharyas in disciplic succession. Not that there's anything lacking in the mercy of Srila Prabhupada or Ramanuja, but we have so many acharyas to meditate upon, especially today. Are you planning to speak on that in the afternoon? Today is, let me see if I can remember, we have Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's disappearance, Saraswati Puja, Vishnu Priya disappearance, I believe it is, Raghunath Das appearance, Pundarik Vidyanidhi appearance, and there's one more. Raghunandan Das Thakur. I mean, even one of them, you could spend your whole life just glorifying, and you wouldn't come to the end. And it's so many today. Anyway, Mukunda Prabhu. Oh, actually. Oh, it's later this morning, right? Yeah, later this morning. Yeah. So, who is Vishnu Priya Devi? Who is Raghunandan Thakur? Who are these great personalities? How do I have any access to them? Through Srila Prabhupada. That's his mercy. So Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, Vishnu Swami, Ramanuja Acharya, all the Acharya, we're all linked by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Both Srila Prabhupada and Ramanuja were 100% pure devotees. That may seem obvious, a truism, it may not need to be spoken. But let's say it, lest we fall into the illusion of thinking that somehow they're just some people who got something in their brain, some neurological dysfunction, and they started preaching. This is how the atheists, they like to pave their way to hell in a very modern, sophisticated 21st century way. They were both acharyas in the true sense of the term. Srila Prabhupada uses this phrase in one of his purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They lived among us, but different to us. We are in the cycle of birth and death. They come as Krishna comes to take us out of the cycle of birth and death. I am also an avatar. I just thought I'd tell you. I am an avatar. Means probably, according to what we understand from Shastra, among the millions, billions, trillions of times I've been in hell, maybe once or twice I went to heaven and came down again. So in that sense. But when we say avatar, we don't mean that. Personalities like Srila Prabhupada and Ramanuja. And then when we say like, you might think, well, the Tamil people, they're like this, but there are very, very few like that, who come directly sent from the spiritual world to lift us up. They're not ordinary devotees. Devotees aren't ordinary, but just we have to say it in, we're constricted by language, so we may say ordinary devotees, but they are above, full of compassion for the suffering of this conditioned souls. The effect of Sri Ramanuja's teaching and preaching has gone on for 1,000 years, which in this Kali Yuga, is, what's the word? Can you think of a word? Extraordinary. Thank you. Extraordinary. One good thing about the effect of Kali Yuga, we see this flag, you can't see it, CITU. What does that stand for? Communist, ITU. Trade Union. It's a communist flag. Mercifully, we can't expect the CITU, the Communist Party, to extend for 1,000 years. That's the good thing. The bad thing is they'll bring in something even worse. Even their communism is outdated, and the neo-Marxism is, we couldn't think of anything much worse, but the neo-Marxism is considerably worse. Insidiously worse. So the mercy of Ramanuja, this is really the mercy of Krishna, that even within this Kali Yuga where everything deteriorates very quickly, this sampradaya has been going on for 1,000 years, and we can simply pray that the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course it said it'll go on for 10,000 years, the influence of Srila Prabhupada, that should continue. It's up to us. It's our duty to continue that. It's up to us means we have got the responsibility to continue his teachings. So both were acharyas, Sri Ramanuja Acharya and Sri Vaishnava in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But both of them, by their powerful activities in devotional service, they both exponentially enhanced their sampradaya, bringing it from, well, in the case of Ramanuja, it wasn't formed. It was loosely going on. But he gave shape to it and brought it into prominence by preaching and widely making so many devotees, setting up an institution, temples, temple worship. He standardized. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada brought the Gaudiya Sampradaya out of the shadows. Again, we are constricted by language, but into prominence in the world. Who had heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's names, Prithivite Ache Jato Nagaradigram Savata Pracha Hoibe Moranam. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's names are being preached all over the world. That's due to Srila Prabhupada. So both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada brought their sampradaya into prominence in the world and gave it a new shape, expanded it exponentially. And both of them left their personal imprint on their sampradaya, such that we say Ramanuja Sampradaya. Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, we say same thing. Similarly, ISKCON is synonymous with Srila Prabhupada. Both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada performed exceptional activities in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said, just do as I am doing. And it might seem that it's not so difficult to do, but it isn't so easy. To do, he would say, what is the difficulty? To practice Krishna consciousness, to preach Krishna consciousness. But we do find it difficult due to our own minds, our own attachment to Krishnetara, that which is seen not in relationship with Krishna. And we do find it difficult due to the very nature of Kali Yuga. It's very difficult for people to get along with each other, even those who are dedicated to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. There may be so many misunderstandings. We see at the present time that although Krishna consciousness is meant for making Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, fulfilling the Vedic motto of seeing everyone as just like our own intimate family member, but practically speaking, even family members don't get on with each other in so many cases. And although Krishna consciousness is supposed to bring everyone together, Srila Prabhupada wrote that as one of the purposes of ISKCON, to bring, can anyone remember the exact words? To bring people together in a sense of love of God, I'm paraphrasing. But it just seems so much easier to make enemies than friends in the world in general today. And it seems easy to turn friends into enemies. It's not easy to turn enemies into friends. It's just the nature of Kali Yuga. It's like that. And just over a small thing, people quarrel. Over a small thing, people who, they've known each other for years, they've been relating with each other, over a small thing, they'll never talk to each other again. Such is the nature of Kali Yuga. So I'm particularly mentioning this because we see how Srila Prabhupada brought together so many disparate people. Satsarupa Maharaj wrote in, at least once he wrote in his voluminous writings, that many of my god brothers, by their personality, they were not at all the type of people I would have liked to associate with. They're not my type of people. But now, in Srila Prabhupada's service, we're all together. Very different kinds of people all brought together. Both Ramanujacharya and Srila Prabhupada awakened love of God in the hearts of many, many people. Both of them were exceptional in as much as they did not discriminate high or low status according to social considerations, which was revolutionary in both cases. Ramanuja, he went in the court of the Muslim king in Delhi, went all the way to Delhi. Of course, in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, even before that, that was accepted, that we have to accept people according to their devotion, not according to their social status. But Ramanuja really made a point of that. Sri Ramanuja at the temple of Tirunarayanapura, Melkote, allowed what Mahatma Gandhi dubbed as the Harijans, or the Mlechas, Chandals, Yavans, Chamars, all these kind of people. He led them into the temple, saying that there's no caste distinction on the path of God. But Srila Prabhupada, this was really revolutionary. He went among the Mlechas. Who would do that? Who would even think that they could take to devotional service? Even though theoretically it's understood from Shastra that everyone can take to devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada, he went among the people who by birth are not meant for this. People who take birth in India in pious families are meant for advancing in devotional service, or at least toward devotional service, by practicing Varnashram. But Srila Prabhupada went among people who were, from the Vedic social perspective, human beings by body only, not by consciousness. Dvipada Pashu, two-legged animals. Both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada performed miraculous activities. That's why we say Shaktya Veshavata. It's not possible. What they did is not possible unless they are imbued with the mercy potency of the Supreme Lord. And both of them recognized this by giving all credit to their gurus and emphasizing that we have to give respect to the gurus. It's whatever, as Srila Prabhupada would say again and again and again, it's whatever I'm doing, it's all by the mercy of my guru. So yes, it's Krishna's mercy, but as you were saying the day before, yesterday, Makunda, in your class, Krishna Kripa Shri Murti. The guru is the very form of the mercy of Krishna. So both of them gave all respect to their gurus and didn't think, well, I'm just doing, you see, here I am, I'm a Shakta Vaishavata. But both of them presented themselves as simply, because they carried out the order of their guru, they were able to do what they did. So both things are true. Because they had full faith in their guru, they were fully empowered by their guru. Srila Prabhupada, he always emphasized that. Sripad Ramanujacharya, he came here to Sri Rangam to see Yamunacharya, who had just passed away, just at that time. But nevertheless, Sri Ramanuja was able to understand that Sri Yamunacharya had three desires, that he had three instructions to communicate to Ramanuja, even though Yamuna had passed away, but he, one, two, three fingers. He communicated there. These, what these three things are, they're sometimes represented a little differently. One of them, very definitely, is to propagate Vaishnava philosophy and teachings. Now we say Sri Vaishnava to distinguish from other sampradayas. At that time, they just said Vaishnava because there was no Vaishnava sampradaya formed or organized in the world at that time. To write a commentary, another instruction of Yamuna, to write a commentary on Srila Vyasadeva's Brahma Sutras. This was to, the purpose for this was to offset the effect of the commentary on the Brahma Sutras, which was, as far as I know, they're practically taken as the definitive commentary, and still is by so many. No, not just as far as I know, it was. The Shankaracharya's Sharirika Bhasha, which is the enemy of, it's supposed to be Brahma Gyan, but it's the enemy of Brahma Gyan, actual Brahma Gyan. So that was another instruction of Yama. And another is to honor Vyasa, Parashara, Anamalava. So Ramanuja did that. His concentration, his life's focus. I have these orders. I have to fulfill them. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he got an order from his guru, and according to the Virvasaya Atmika Buddhi, Ekeha Kuru Nandana, one pointedness in devotional service, as expounded upon by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada took it as his life's mission. Now, he only has to do what his guru told him, to preach Krishna consciousness. Explain Krishna consciousness in the English language. And of course, Srila Prabhupada took that instruction in the fullest sense possible. He could have just written a few essays in English, but he took it to mean that I have to go to the English speaking world. Srila Prabhupada understood from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, if you ever get money, print books. So he understood from his guru that he's very fond of books. Srila Prabhupada personifies Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Aika Arna Kori Hamane Asha, taking the words, the instructions of the guru as his life and soul without desiring anything else. So both of them, they took the orders of their gurus and strived with full heart to fulfill the order in a magnificent way, in the biggest way possible. Ramanuja, walking throughout the length and breadth of India, preaching, writing books, making disciples, making an organization, organizing temples. He made a movement, particularly that Sri Bhasha, his commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. It was a completely different understanding. Even in many places, the same verses are used, because when expounding on the Brahma Sutras, one has to explain them in terms of Shruti. So many times they'd use the same Shruti Vakya, especially in the beginning. Atato Brahma Jignyasa, Jambhasyasya Yataha. All the commentators, they will quote, they'll explain this from Taittiriya Upanishad, Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayante Ityadi, as you often say. They all explain it in the same way. They give, no, they don't all explain in the same way. They all take the same quotation from the Upanishads. But what is the meaning of that? Shankara took it monistically. And Ramanuja realistically. That Brahma means, and of course then Madhva also, and other acharyas. They explained, but Ramanuja was the first to counteract the poison of Mayavad, which had been injected into the cultural life of India, to counteract the poison of Buddhism. Sometimes you need poison to counteract poison, but then you don't want to keep the poison. When it's done its job, you have to get it out and put in the real nectar. Prabhupada also, he wrote more than, well, his aim was to have 60, Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. That's one thing we don't often hear about, right? There's a lot of complaint about book editing, but the fact that Prabhupada wanted in 60 volumes, that we don't hear so much. And what Srila Prabhupada did to do that, he himself said it's by, he himself used the term hard labor to produce these books. No one would have grudged Srila Prabhupada if he slept at night, which would be understandable for an old man who's working so hard. But he hardly slept at night because he wanted to produce these books. And he went on practically until his last breath. As long as he had enough strength to, of course, we understand that the body of a pure Vaishnava is completely spiritual, but still, to teach us, it may appear to act in a material way. So practically till his last breath, he was dictating his Bhaktivedanta purports. In which, incidentally, he praised Ramanuja, quoted from Ramanuja, encouraged to study the writings of Ramanuja, especially Sri Bhasha. Srila Prabhupada did unprecedented service, installing deities, having Rathyatras, training the Mlechas in deity worship. The Mlechas, who no non-Hindus allowed, we see, in the temple, and they've accepted us as Hindus. We are from the West. Yesterday at the Ramanuja Sannidhi, the priest there asked you, "Are you a converted Hindu?" He was happy to see, "I'm a converted Hindu." But Srila Prabhupada didn't want to make Hindus per se. He wanted to make pure devotees of Krishna. Just even a few decades ago, Western people, they wouldn't allow near to the houses of the Brahmins, let alone inside the house. Even, when was that? In the 1980s or something. Devotees, they paid so much money to go in the Nrisimha temple in Puri. They had to pay so much money. They're not allowed in there because then they're non-Hindus. And they ask, why so much money? Well, we have to spend so much money to purify it afterwards. We have to bring cow dung and put it everywhere. Very offensive mentality. But Srila Prabhupada, he didn't see, he saw. These are jivas. They can worship Krishna if they have faith in Krishna. And he did. So in this way, we see Srila Prabhupada, his great compassion in giving Krishna consciousness to one and all without consideration. Ramanuja, practically his mission began, his mission of preaching began after taking mantra diksha from his guru Goshtipurna, who had refused him 17 times. He had to walk all the way from Srirangam to Tiru, what's the name? Tirukoshtipuram, walking. How far is it? About 180 kilometers, something like that. And probably the roads were a bit more winding in those days also. So 17 times he came, 17 times, you know, Ramanuja, he was already famous, coming for initiation. No, no, not qualified. 18th time, okay. But don't tell the mantra to anyone. What's the effect of the mantra? You'll get liberated. So then Ramanuja took the mantra. You all know the story. Went up, shouted out to everyone. What's that mantra? Om Namo Narayanaya. And the guru becomes very unhappy and says, you'll go to hell for disobeying my instruction. Okay, I'll go to hell. Everyone else will get mukti. Ah. Then he understands. Then the guru understands. Srila Prabhupada, he left his peaceful life in Vrindavan. As he explained once, you can hear Srila Prabhupada recorded his talks, even when there was no one committed to hearing his talks, but he recorded his talks, and in one of his talks in New York to an uncommitted audience, this would be 1965, 1966, explaining the principle of duty from Bhagavad Gita, how it is Arjuna's duty to fight. Srila Prabhupada would pronounce it duty, according to the pronunciation he imbibed from his Scottish teachers. So he gave us an example. Why am I here in New York? I'm in Vrindavan. I have my home is in Vrindavan. I'm very happy, very peaceful there. I could live there very happily. So why have I come here? Apart from Srila Prabhupada, practically all the population of India at that time and today would rather be in New York than Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada saying it round the other way. Why have I come here? Because it is my duty. I am ordered by my spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada used himself as an example of that. And we're talking about Vaishnava Acharyas, so a core tenet of actual Vaishnavism and definitely of the Acharyas is rigid opposition to Mayavad, Advaita, Kevala Advaitavad. If you say Advaita, you shouldn't say Advaitavad exactly, because of course Ramanuja's philosophy is also Advaitavad. But it's Vishish. People say Advaitavad and they think it's Shankara. Generally, it's understood like that, but Ramanuja is Vishishta Advaitavad, and we have Shuddha Advaitavad. So it's accepted within Vaishnavism, but qualified oneness. Both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada are known for their exceptional affection to their disciples. Both of them renounced family life due to their wife's mistakes. Ramanuja, as an ordinary Brahmin woman of the time, had deep caste distinctions, Brahmin woman, Brahmin man. She held deep caste distinctions. So when Kanchipurna, one of Ramanuja's gurus, he teaching him, he came, he was invited to take the meal in Ramanuja's house. For some reason, Ramanuja was delayed and couldn't come. So Kanchipurna came, she fed him, and then his remnants, which Ramanuja, he thought he'd get the remnants of his guru, but his wife threw them out, the remnants of a Shudra, she thought. And then when Mahapurna, another of Ramanuja's gurus, also from supposedly lower caste, then they had a Ramanuja's wife and Mahapurna's wife. Ramanuja's wife chastised, scolded Mahapurna's wife. They're both drawing water from the well, and then the water from your bucket shouldn't go in my bucket. And then Ramanuja thought, once was too much. Twice she has disrespected my gurus. And then Ramanuja took sannyas. And in Srila Prabhupada, we know that his wife pawned his Bhagavatam for money for tea biscuits. And Srila Prabhupada thought, it's time to leave. And he took sannyas. We're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada's wife. Both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada had to face tremendous opposition, tremendous obstacles. Spreading Krishna consciousness in the world, it's not such an easy thing. You just go and you say, okay, everyone surrender to Krishna. Oh, okay. It's not like that. It's a great, great struggle. There's always opposition. Both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada had to struggle and face opposition in very different ways. Both are opposed by envious people. Ramanuja, twice he was planned to be killed. Once by his own guru, as a child. Practically he was, a young man. His Yadava Prakash, his impersonalistic guru, who later became Ramanuja's disciple, planned to kill him, and then the Chola king wanted to kill him, so he was exiled. He had to leave the area we now call Tamil Nadu. How are we doing on time? Over. Okay. This may go on. So Ramanuja had to go into exile. But ultimately Ramanuja's influence prevailed. And what Srila Prabhupada had to go through, what he did was unimaginable, but it was what struggle he had to go through. Even the absence of his guru, that in itself is devastating, seeing the whole of his guru's institution built up with great hope, great labor, and becoming fragmented, bitter, devotees bitter against each other. There's nothing he could do. Year after year, he had to live with family members who are uninspiring, to say the least. They didn't share his Vaishnava aspirations for preaching. He was doing medicine sales and developing his business, but that wasn't the purpose of his life. He was doing it as his family duty, always thinking. He was always thinking, how can I serve my spiritual master? But he was as if trapped in the family situation. Eventually he left home and made this League of Devotees in Jhansi. And he had a nice building, and some people were coming, and it seemed that it was being developed. Then all of a sudden, the wife of the governor, Uttar Pradesh, I guess, decided that she wanted to use that building for a ladies' club. So he was thrown out. No place to stay, no support. But he kept his plans for a worldwide movement, even in Jhansi. How many people in Tamil Nadu have heard of Jhansi? It's just some town. You might have heard it. Some town is, where is it, in India? I think it's UP, actually. Anyway, it's there's a panhandle of UP which comes down. Anyway, it's just like previously, before Gokul Chandra came to Salem, if I was in ISKCON, even in Hyderabad, you say Salem, who's heard of Salem? And if you're in America, you've heard of Salem due to the cigarettes from, but that's another Salem. So who's heard of Jhansi? But Prabhupada was making plans for sending so many thousand copies of Back to Godhead to different countries, to all the intelligent people. He didn't have enough money to buy himself a good dhoti, but he was planning to have a worldwide movement. And his godbrothers thought he was a bit cracked, actually. It seems like that. Because, anyway, I won't get into that now, but they thought, yeah, he's always talking all these big, I mean, look at it, you know, it's just like now sometimes we see devotees that come and say, yeah, I'm gonna preach, I'm gonna make a revolution, I'm gonna do this and that, and yeah, okay. We don't take them seriously. Srila Prabhupada had no place to live even, but it didn't stop him. Somehow he got on the ship. He didn't know what he was going to do when he got to the... He had a general idea of what he was going to do. He had no idea what the people were like there. How is he going to support himself? He has the idea, maybe he'll sell some books. Fully surrendered to Krishna, went on the ship, heading into the unknown, no help, no encouragement. You know, I'm sitting here and... You're all sitting and listening nicely. Prabhupada didn't have that when he started. He had nothing. Nothing except he had everything. He had faith in his guru and faith in the Bhagavatam and faith in the holy name. He bought Bhagavatam with him. But he, materially speaking, he had nothing. No followers. No one to help him. No friends. He came to a place, some place which is completely strange to him. There are no devotees. No one's heard of Krishna. People could hardly understand his accent. No money in a foreign country. And he's coming and telling, surrender to Krishna. Surrender, that's something you see in the cowboy movies, right? And what's that? What's that? They never heard of Krishna. He could have gone back any time. He was robbed. Whatever little he'd accumulated, not for personal sense gratification, of course, his typewriter, which was very important, stolen. He was living with a young man who went crazy and probably thought he was going to kill him. He didn't go back at that time to India. If he hadn't gone back, our spiritual life would have never been born. We wouldn't be here today. Even the ordinary civilized Americans were so fallen, and what to speak of the hippies, even the regular Americans who ate meat, drank alcohol, smoked cigarettes, broke all the four regulative principles on a daily basis without having any idea that anything slightly wrong with it. Even they thought the hippies were low class. And Prabhupada went among them. And many of them were like deranged, intoxicated. And I'm sitting here with all you cultured, civilized people. It's Prabhupada's disciples, so confused and the effect of drugs and the upbringing and complete ignorance of his divine status. He had to take the burden of management of the whole movement. He saw potential in different devotees who could get things done, strong-minded devotees, but their strong-mindedness wasn't always fully channeled into pushing Prabhupada's movement, but their strong-mindedness would jar up against the strong-mindedness of others, just like Tabal Krishna Maharaj was very famous for that, but he wasn't the only one. Prabhupada's big leaders, he channeled their energy into pushing forward this movement, but it often burst out against each other. And it wasn't unknown here in India, especially for that. Anyway, I won't say that. I'll edit that out, that bit. Let's keep it a little sweet. Fall downs of disciples, even big managers who Srila Prabhupada had invested so much hope in, so much faith in. Unpredictable people. You just don't know, you know, what crazy idea they're going to come up with next. Some even betrayed him. Devotee he was traveling with day and night for years decided that Prabhupada wasn't a guru. He wasn't fit to be his guru. In the meantime, while he was doing this, Prabhupada was expecting help from the government of India. Well, look what I'm doing to push forward this movement. But in the meantime, they're raising questions in the Lok Sabha about Swami Bhaktivedanta's, he's bringing CIA agents. So instead of helping, they were accusing him of working with some foreign power. And then he was thinking at least his godbrothers would at last help him, but mostly they were very critical of what he was doing. So many things. He was traveling all over the world, going through different time zones, which even the young men traveling with him would be exhausted, but Srila Prabhupada would just go on as if there was nothing wrong. He had so much sickness. Harishori Prabhu told me once that Prabhupada, all the time I was with him, he actually had serious health problems. But he just, to a large extent, he just had such a strong desire to push on Krishna consciousness that he just went on despite that. Demoniac propaganda against him. He's spoiling Hinduism by making these Western devotees, and constantly being in the public light, people coming, even if people are praising you. I have personal experience that it's hard to be in the limelight all the time. It's stressful. That's maybe why after these Shravan Kirtan camps, I usually physically have to take some rest. But Srila Prabhupada, he practically didn't. He just kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. He not only did not become discouraged, but he kept on encouraging his disciples who themselves became discouraged due to their own failings or their own lack of faith in Krishna consciousness. Both Ramanuja and Srila Prabhupada they built movements, which is it's a big thing to do, to build a whole movement, but they both wrote many books. Yesterday he told me about this Karl Potter, the day before yesterday, I looked up on the internet. He wrote so much. You were one of his students. He wrote so much on India's philosophy. It seems he would have gone on and on and on if he had lived on and on and on. He was writing so much. But generally we think of a writer as a writer. And someone who's building a movement, say a politician or something, or environmentalist, Greta Thunberg, is that how you remember? They're active. Someone who's busy in the world getting things done and someone who's writing, we think of them as like two different things. But both Ramanuja and Prabhupada wrote books knowing that to sustain what they were establishing, Vaishnava movements, it has to be established on a basis of knowledge, Shastric knowledge. Books are the basis. So they wrote the books of Ramanuja has largely shaped his sampradaya. And the books of Srila Prabhupada that's the point. We have to, it has to be books are the basis, not sentiment is the basis. Or Srila Prabhupada smiled at me is the basis. That's not the basis. Srila Prabhupada loved me, therefore I understand him better than you. But that's not what he told us. The books are the basis, and his books are appreciated by the members of this sampradaya here, Sri Sampradaya, because they give the same message. And even by serious Christians in the Western world, they appreciate Prabhupada's books. Do you have that experience? Tattvavad, sorry. Although there are probably not that many Christians in Finland. But the really serious ones who are really into it, they appreciate Prabhupada's books. These books are making a revolution. It's not in the future. It's happening now. It's happening in the lives of every one of us, and it will expand. Anyway, a little bit I'll speak on the books of Ramanuja, 9 prominent works of his. Sribhasha, detailed commentary on the Brahma Sutras. What is the absolute truth? Atato Brahma Jignasa. What is it? What is it? You have to look in the Shastra, Upanishads. But then how does it explain it? Well, how do you explain the explanation? Ramanuja showed that the explanation is Jivesurupai Krishna Nityadas. In other words, we are all eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, Narayana. Similarly, his Gita Bhasha, his commentary, Ramanuja's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, seminal work by which to, because both Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutras, they serve the same purpose, to delineate the absolute truth. And Gita, Bhagavad Gita, so much misunderstood, misinterpreted, malinterpreted. Srila Prabhupada used that word. Srila Prabhupada once said that he wanted to translate and comment on Ramanuja's commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Also, Vedanta Sangraha. It is a treatise presenting the tenets of the philosophy which came to be known as Vishishtadvaitavad, or the qualified oneness, technically. Reconciling apparently contradictory Shruti Vakyas, statements of the Vedas. Bheda Vakyas, Abheda Vakyas, some statements in Shastra, they emphasize difference, and some apparently or actually emphasize the non-difference of everything. But the acharyas, they are meant for Shastra Yukti, for fighting on the basis of Shastra and reconciling the statements of Shastra. So his Vedanta Sangraha did that. Vedanta Deepa is a summary, a short commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. Vedanta Sa is another commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, meant for people who are just beginners, basic tenets. Then his Sriranga, then in prose, just from his soul, Ramanuja composed Sriranga Gadya, which he's praying to Ranganatha, inspired by Ranganatha Swami. He expresses his pure love for Sri Ranganatha Swami and describes in detail how Sri Ranganatha Swami, Narayana, is the repository of Ananta Kalyana Guna, unlimited auspicious qualities. Then he has his... I didn't list them all. Sharanagati Gadya. It's a conversation between, it's in the form of a conversation between Ramanuja and Narayana with Sri Lakshmi. So, first of all, Ramanuja therein describes the unlimited kindness of Sri Devi, asking her to recommend him, Ramanuja, to Sri Narayana, because she is more accessible than him. He's God. Not so easy to get near to, but she's his wife and she sees us all as her children. Then taking approval from her, introduction from her. What are you doing here? Oh, your wife. Okay, come on. After getting introduced, he describes Narayana in his, as in Sri Ranga Gadyam, and then he presents himself, that I have committed many sins. Of course, he never committed anything close to a sin. I am ignorant of philosophy. He's full in understanding, but he thinks like that. But he just, could I be one of your devotees also? Can you accept me? Give me the blessing, he prays, to become a full devotee. That I always wanting to serve only. And then it's a very personal prayer. And then the Supreme Lord, being very pleased by his humility and complete surrender, blesses him, removes his karma, and gives him moksha. Moksha in Vaishnav terminology means becoming free from material contamination and admittance into the service of the Supreme Lord. Another gadya or prose work, more from the heart, Vaikuntha gadya of Ramanuja, describes Vaikuntha and the position of the liberated souls there, the supreme abode of Sri Narayana. And then, very practical, his Nitya Grantha, Ramanuja in his other works, his commentaries gave the philosophical basis, but practically, what do we have? Yeah, the philosophical basis, and then the fact that we have to surrender to the Lord, Sharanagati, but then what do we do day by day? How do we live our life of surrender, Sharanagati, Prapatti? How do we live our life to the Lord? Instructions, how to live our life day by day. Practical explanations. So what we, the Nitya Karmas, how do we live our life? Similarly, Srila Prabhupada wrote books, among which he himself gave special stress to Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion, and so many other books. And so many other books can be made from Srila Prabhupada's books. He actually, from his speaking, from his recorded speaking. And those books are powerful, inspiring, uplifting. So we should all try to distribute them. We come here to serve, to get inspiration for service. And I personally am very enlivened by the prospect of one particular service that Srila Prabhupada wanted very much, the distribution of his books going through a new phase, a revolution in book distribution, massive distribution of sets of Srila Prabhupada's books. And with all due respect to Mukunda Datta Prabhu, who we're very grateful, who has come here again and again and again, practically the important speech here will not be given by Mukunda Datta Prabhu or me. That will be by Jagan Mohan Gopal Prabhu, don't mind, who, with other devotees in Salem, orchestrated the distribution during the December month of over 1,000 sets of Prabhupada's books. 640 Bhagavatam sets and 440 Chaitanya Charitamrita sets. This is the beginning. Now we're just beginning. And the wonderful thing is, everyone can do it. And every one of you should do it. This is especially for Grihasthas, because you all have contacts. You all have your ex-school friends, your ex-working friends. You all have friends. You all have enemies. Maybe. Most people in the world do. You all have all kinds of contacts. And you can sell them, utilizing that relationship, you can sell so many books to them. So I'm not going to say more about it now. It's over to Jagan Mohan and others also. So this camp, the effectiveness of it will be not that we go back and say, did you have a good time? But that you're going to go back and give the BBT a headache by distributing so many books. Where are the books? Oh, they're just coming. Where are the books? I need the books now. I need another 1,000 sets of Bhagavatam right now. Give the BBT a headache. The success of this camp will be if you give the BBT a headache. Tell Ananda Tirtha in Bombay. We have resolved. We, the members of the Shravan Kirtan camp in Sri Rangam, have made a resolution to give Ananda Tirtha in the BBT in Bombay a headache. This is the prime vow we're taking. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution, ki jai. Mukunda Datta Prabhu, ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda, ki jai. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascharkipa Sindhubhyavija Padita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.